We're going to continue our series of messages from the book of Luke. Turn, if you would, though, first to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. While you're turning to Malachi chapter 4, allow me to read these words. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him, unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In this series of messages from Luke's gospel, we have come to the birth of one saint by the name of John. He is son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. We took a look at them last week, and where the Lord declares they were righteous before God. If you will recall, we saw that their righteousness is the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus and him alone, just as it is with each and every one of us. We have no righteousness of our own. This saint of God, John, son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, he's also known as John the Baptist, because he was used of God to introduce the ordinance of water baptism. Up until that day, water baptism was not part of the rituals, was not part of the ordinances that God had set forth for his people. They call him John the Baptist. He introduced water baptism, which is a symbol of being baptized in the Spirit. Just as coming to the table of remembrance is no more than an ordinance or a ceremonial covenant, pointing one's thoughts to a deed of another. We come to the table of remembrance to remind us of the deed of our Savior. Isn't that what it is? To remind us of what our Savior has done for us, to bring our minds back to who it is that has done this up, that has done the saving. John's ministry was the same ministry that all men who were sent of God to minister. All of what I just read, all of those who were sent of God to preach who Jesus Christ is, so that those who God has chosen to save out of all of mankind will hear the truth about who Christ is. How are you going to call in somebody you've never heard of? God sends his preachers to preach of who God is, the Lord Jesus Christ. John was sent to do that very thing. His ministry was the same as all of God's ministers. The proclamation of Christ. The prophets of God, they prophesied of the coming of Christ. They prophesied of the Messiah, the deliverer. And here in Malachi, we see the prophecy, the prediction of the forerunner to the coming Messiah. Now remember this. Malachi was the last of God's prophets sent unto the people. Now, that doesn't mean people weren't saved. I was reminded when I said this once before. God still had his remnant. Even throughout that 400 years, he still had his people. He still saved his people out of that generation. But he had not sent a prophet to speak to the word of God. The word of God. 400 years had passed. In Malachi, here in Malachi chapter 4, we begin at verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes of judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah. Now remember, Elijah's been dead for a long time. And here the Lord has inspired Malachi to say these words, behold, I will send you. Look for, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You say, well, that doesn't sound like the prophecy of John the Baptist, though. We need to interpret God's word with God's word, don't we? One will come in the spirit of Elijah, is what it's talking about. Well, what was the spirit of Elijah? It's the same of all of God's preachers. It's the same of all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every child of God has the same spirit. The Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. That's the new creature, the new creation, the new birth that we have all experienced. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Master, as our Lord, He who is gracious to us. Everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before a star ever twinkled have the same spirit, the spirit that dwelleth in you. Not that spirit of death that we were all born with, but the spirit of life, the living spirit of God. Not the spirit that has earned the wrath of God, but the spirit that leads us to Jesus Christ Himself. Listen to some psalms that I've put in my notes here for us. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Lead me to Calvary. Lead me to Calvary. Psalms 32, verses 7 and 8, we read these words. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, I will instruct thee and will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, saith the Lord. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's the Lord given. That's the spirit of Elijah. That's the spirit of every one of God's saints. Each and every one of us. In Psalm 73, verse 21 through 24, we read this. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Sin has been revealed to God's people. And our heart is grieved with sin where it was not before. The Lord pricks the hearts of His people where sin once reigned. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. We were talking about that in our Sunday Bible study this morning, being in the hope and the faith that God's word is true. There will be a day when He returns and we'll be with Him in glory. This guiding spirit guides us into all righteousness. Listen to these words again from Psalms, verse chapter 5, or the fifth Psalm, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, into thy righteousness. Because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. In Psalms 22, we read this in verses 30 and 31. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. This is the spirit of Elijah. This is what Elijah did going throughout his time of ministry, pointing those to the righteousness of Christ. This is what it's talking about, this young man, this saint, John the Baptist. He'll be coming in the spirit of Elijah, doing the same thing Pastor Gene did for 30-something years right here at this pulpit. Doing the same thing Don Fortner did. Doing the same thing that I hope God will give me the ability to do. To declaim our Savior. And Him alone. That's the Spirit of God in us. Guiding us to Calvary, where our Savior laid down His life. That's called Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what that is. In Psalms 35, We read this, judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness. We don't come. We don't profess that it is your will. We profess that it is God's will, don't we? That's what the Spirit of God does in us. Gives us grace to profess His grace in us. Psalms 35, verse 28, we read these words, in my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. This is what it is to have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. The guiding Spirit leads us to declare Christ as our sovereign King, Lord of all that is, all-knowing, all-powerful, holy and perfect in every way. Oh, the privilege to be led to Jesus Christ. This is what John's ministry was. It was to speak of the one to come, to preach Christ. Look with me now, if you would, at Matthew, over in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we see in verse 1, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard, now John was in prison for preaching Christ and him crucified. He was in prison for preaching the sovereignty of God, just as every one of God's preachers preached the sovereignty of God, just as all of us do. John was in prison for that. You see, the light of Christ shines on the darkness, and the darkness sees it and say, oh, I don't want to see that. Don't tell me my good works are not good. They make me feel good. Don't tell me my decision is not good. I feel good about my decision. I feel good about whatever it is I've done to be saved. John was in prison. And when John had heard, verse 2 again, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? This is the Messiah. This is clear as a bell to those of that day. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Messiah that was promised to come. The one who was prophesied of by Malachi and all of the prophets before him. And said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. Those who are blind to the truths of God's word have been given sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Malachi. In fact, I don't know if you have in your Bible, but right here at the bottom of this verse, it says Malachi 3:1. Now let's turn back here. We were looking at Malachi 4, weren't we? Turn back to Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way for me, before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So here we see the prophecy. This one Christ is declaring is the fulfillment of that prophecy. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say to you. Now listen to this. People want to take some of the prophets, like Moses, you know, they would say, well, Moses, he was something else. He was way above all other men. No, he wasn't. The Catholics have said, Mary, she's perfect. No, she's not. Mary called her son Lord. She knew who she was before God. John the Baptist is no more than you and I, but a man who is saved by the grace of God. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, now before you put John the Baptist way up there on that post, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Woo! Now, turn over, if you would, to Mark. Let's look at Mark's version of this. Mark chapter 9. I want to give you, through God's word, I pray the Lord will speak to you through his word, giving you the accounts that we see of this one called John the Baptist, this one who comes in the spirit of Elijah. In verse 11, we read of Mark chapter 9, and they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And he, our Lord, answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things. So what was the spirit of Elijah doing? It was coming and speaking of him who must suffer many things and be set at naught. Now who is that talking about? Isn't that our Savior? It's talking about him. Verse 13, but I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come. What? And that's what it's talking about right there. But John the Baptist, Elijah has come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of them. And we just saw back in Matthew, he was in prison, right? Now, if you would, turn over to the first chapter of Luke. We get to our text. Luke chapter 1. Everything our Lord has said shall come to pass exactly how our Lord has said. Whatever it is. We know this because he sent some people into a city. He told two of his disciples, go into town. Go into town. And this is just one example of it. This is just one of the examples that we just recently looked at. Go into town, find a guy with a pitcher of water. Well, and another one, incident before that, he sent two of them into town and told them to find a colt, an ass's colt, a young colt, that had never been sat on before, and take them. And when somebody comes to you and says, what are you doing? Just tell them the master needs it. Oh, okay, we'll let you have it. That's how easy that was, and that came about exactly how it happened, how I was told. We know that what the Lord, because he's Lord, because he's God, if he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, is there any possibility that any of his people, any of those that God the Father gave him, won't come to him? No. If that's a possibility with you, everything that our Lord has said shall come to pass, shall come to pass. Why am I so confident in that? Because our Lord's word says so. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's his word. That's not an interpretation. That's not John's thoughts about, well, I think it means this. That's his word. It shall come to pass. That's the God of all the scriptures. That's declared from Genesis to the book, to the final verse in Revelation 22. In Isaiah 46:11, it says it again. He says this, yea, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's our God. That's one who deserves to be called God. That's one who is God. There's no doubt in the minds of his people. There's no doubt at all. that all things are prepared. It talks about a wedding feast in scriptures. We know that that's a picture of Christ and his bride, the people of God, you and I. He's the groom, we're the bride, and that wedding feast has been prepared. Everything is there for us. Come ye who are meek and lowly. Eternity with God has been prepared for his people, his elect, chosen by God the Father and given to God the Son before the foundation of the world. That's what we read over in Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man of the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. But it says something else after that. When Christ reveals who the Father is, these words come to the hearts of his people, where he says in verse 28, come unto me, speaking of Christ, speaking to you and I, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Yoke is, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the message that John the Baptist has been prepared to give. He was prepared before the world ever was. God looked down through time and set one of his children in this spot. The very spot where the angel came to Zacharias and Elizabeth and said, hey, I know you're old. I know you're beyond the years of having a child. I'm going to give you a child. And this child you're going to have is going to be do great things for my people. Let's read about that, shall we? Look over at verses 7 through 17 of Luke chapter 1. Speaking of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, that's what Zacharias was one of the priests. He was one of the under-priests. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw it, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And then he goes on to express this, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's my subject for this morning. John was prepared by God to preach that message. He hadn't even been born yet. And the angel of God is expressing to his father, this is what your child is going to do. He's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. What did Elijah do? What spirit? Same spirit you and I had. Same spirit we have. He had the Spirit of Christ. John was prepared before the world ever was created to come into this world and preach Christ and him crucified. Amen. To preach repentance. Turn from the wickedness of your own mind, from the wickedness of your own works. Turn and rest in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what God's messengers bring. Turn from the works that you do in your own, for your own salvation, which are worthless, which are vanity, and turn to Christ, the surety. Salvation is of the Lord. He shall go before the people. He shall go to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Over in Luke chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you. Verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being a tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria, and of the region of, here's another one, Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Albania, Ananias and Caiaphas, being the high priest of the word of God, came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now these folks came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And I want to quote for you what Brother Don wrote about this. Brother Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "A prophet is a man distinctly called of God. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness." That's what it says there. The word of God came unto John out at that time when those men were in, they didn't come to him. I said that wrong. The word of God came to him during that time while he was out in the wilderness. A message from heaven came upon his heart. It seized his soul, writes Don. Captivated his mind. It took over his life. When I was reading these words, I thought to myself, I look through God's word until I find something the Lord does exactly that with me. I asked Pastor Dean about that one time. He said, "That's exactly what I do, John." He said, "You know something? Don Fortner and I have had that conversation many, many times. It's exactly the way that it works with Don Fortner. We look into God's word until the Lord gives us something to bring up Sunday morning to speak to you about. To bring before you. And every time that word is about his son, the Lord Jesus." The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. A message from heaven came upon his heart. It seized his soul, captivated his mind. It took over his life, writes Don. He says, Don writes this, he says, "I do not know how to put my finger on it, but I know this. No man has any business engaging in the work of the ministry who has not been called of God to do it. He who runs without being sent has no message to deliver, no work to do, no mandate to accomplish. But when a man is called of God, when the word of God comes to him in the wilderness of this world, he knows exactly what he must do. I know exactly what I must do. I must preach Christ. I must preach Christ and him crucified. That's on every page. Everything else will come together along with that. We know what we must preach." And he goes about, goes on Don, he goes about his work with Tennessee and with the Tennessee of a mule and the courage of a lion. If a man is called of God to do this great and glorious work, this heart-rendering work, he knows the word of the Lord, as in the message of the gospel. He is gifted of God to preach the gospel, in other words, apt to teach. Such a man does not have to look for a place to preach or to promote himself in any way. God puts him in the work. John was in the wilderness, exactly where God put him when the word of the Lord came to him. If a man is called of God, God gives him a hearing, and he is engaged in the work of it. This call of God separates the man called and gifted of God into the work of the gospel. And we read this in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Paul giving us an example of himself as this. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Folks, I'll tell you something. If you ever have to go somewhere, and you're thinking to yourself, and I've done this, I know how it is, you're thinking, "Oh man, it's Sunday morning, I really, you know, I've been over here over here on the coast once, and Captain there was like, Sunday morning, we gotta do something. Let's look up and see what kind of churches are in town here. Let's just go to one. Who knows? Maybe God has a church here. It wasn't, but still, we went. You go to a church, any church, I don't care where it is, you come to this church, you take that verse, Romans 1 through 4, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and you apply that to whoever stands in this pulpit. You come here next Saturday, next Sunday, you want to listen to Larry Chris preach, you apply this word to what his message is, and you'll know if he's a man sent of God or not. You'll know. No man is called of God to preach the gospel who is not preaching the gospel. Oh, but John, there's so much more you could preach. No, there's not. In Luke chapter 3, in our text, we read, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance. So in verse 3, we read these words, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Folks, God's prophet is a man with a message. We come to you on Sunday morning. I pray. I'm going to start praying the moment the services are over today. Lord, what do I do for Friday night? Oh, wait a minute. Friday night's going to be covered. Oh, no, it's not. Yeah, I got to bring Bible study Friday. Yeah, I'll start praying right away Friday night. But what am I going to bring Friday night? Lord, what's the message you want me to bring? Where do I look at? We'll be in the book of Mark probably, but if not, I might bring something different. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord leads me. We have a message. A clear message. It's distinct and it's from God. Demanding the surrender of rebels to the throne of our great King. That's what bringing the gospel is. Lay down your works of religion, your works of righteousness. Lay down your will. And may God give you His will. That's the message we come with. John came into all the country of Jordan preaching the baptism of and the remission of sins. The baptism of repentance. In other words, it's believers' immersion. It's the gospel ordinance by which believers, sinners, are commanded and delight to confess to the faith in Christ. That's what we come to the waters of baptism for. To declare unto those who are witness to it, I believe God's word. I come to this table of remembrance. I believe what God has told me that He has done for me. For the remission of sins. Folks, we're not baptized to have our sins remitted. You could better read that is because of the remission of sins. It's not for. It's because. Because of the remission of sins, I will be baptized. Because my Lord paid the price, because He has first loved me, I love Him and will do what He says. Christ has put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. Baptism is no more than a believer's declaration that he has been turned to God by Jesus Christ Himself. John came preaching repentance, the turning of sinners to God by the Savior, the very same message that all gospel preachers in every age are sent to proclaim. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. This is the message of John the Baptist, folks. Be reconciled to God. Repent. Repent from your works, from your filthy rags that are your own works of righteousness. Repent and turn to God. For He hath made Him, our Savior, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Back in our text, again, we read in verses 4 and 5, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The same spirit in Elijah's in the spirit is the spirit that dwelleth with all of us. Turn from our, I said that a moment ago. We cry in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. That's simply speaking about all of those roads of works can be put away. All the valleys and the mountains of works and what man would do can be put away, for the road to our Savior is straight and easy. Verse 6, we read, all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he unto the multitude that came forth, be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you of the flee from the wrath to come. Who warned you of it? Who warned you and turned you to Christ? Was it the man standing at the pulpit? Can the man standing at the pulpit speak to your heart? No. Only the one who creates hearts can speak to the heart. When the people presumed that John was himself the Christ, that's what we read down in verse 15, and as the people were in expectation and all men must of their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, when the people presumed that John himself is the Christ, he quickly pointed out that he not only was not the Christ, but that he was utterly incapable of doing anything for their souls. That's what we read in verse 16. John answered and he said unto them, all I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, that latcheth of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost with fire. Now Paul had to deal with the very same thing over in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 3. He said the power of the efficacy of the gospel does not depend upon the preacher, but upon Christ. He says our sufficiency is of God. That's what that's talking about. There's no sufficiency in John Reeves. There's no sufficiency in Gene Harmon, Don Fortner, or Henry Mann, or any other of the men who's walked on this earth other than Christ. Its sufficiency is of his. And verse 17 of that very declares this very truth. Whose fan is in the hand of him, of he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Will you go through that door marked death in unbelief? That's the unforgivable sin. That's the only sin that man can commit. And if you go through that door marked death in unbelief, there's no hope for you. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Today is the day to trust in the Lord. If you belong to Him, the answer is no. To believe God is His gift to His people. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. A prophet shall be sent to his people. Look again at verses 16 and 17 of our text. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn, speaking of this prophet, speaking of this man of God, speaking of this one who will preach the gospel. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit, go before Christ in the spirit, in the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The God of all creation, Christ Jesus the Lord, has prepared salvation for you, His people. He became flesh, 100% flesh, yet 100% God. He sacrificed himself to the stead of those he had loved from before the world was. He arose from the grave to sit upon his throne, to rule all that is, to make intercession for all that the Father giveth him. John the Baptist came with this in his heart. Salvation, your salvation, all of his elect salvation is of the Lord. It's finished, saith our Lord, when he hung on that cross. If you belong to him, rest in him. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Amen. Rest in our Savior. Amen.